Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see you. Glad you didn't blow away on the way in here. And glad to see you here this morning for this morning's worship service. A couple announcements as we begin here. If you have your bulletin, just notice there on the back a couple things to add to your calendar. Notice there that we are collecting school supplies for North River Elementary School. We've done this in the past with the ministerial group. We'll do this all the way through February 11th. That's the last Sunday that you'll be able to bring items, because after that we'll be taking things over to the school. We'll gather those items together with all the other churches in our area, and we'll sort it and then take it to the teachers, and they can take it to the classrooms and put it to good use. So they really appreciate this. I know in years past we've taken those supplies over. They are really thankful. Just so appreciative. You would think you'd think that they just naturally have all these things. They don't, and the kids don't. And so sometimes the teachers end up providing some of these things out of their own pocket. And we were hoping, boy, if we could help the teachers not have to worry with that sort of thing, that would really be good. So I hope that if you get some time to do a little shopping, maybe you can pick up some of the items that are listed on the bulletin board. There's some suggested items that they're needing, and so you can take note of that. But they're always just needing pencils and erasers and all that good stuff that that they constantly go through. So just take note of that, and hopefully you get a chance to help out with that work. Also, notice there we will be having a pulpit supply, or a pulpit exchange rather, on January 28th, and so we look forward to that. The pastors kind of shift around for that Sunday, and we always enjoy that. It's a great opportunity for the pastors to kind of exchange and to get opportunity to meet the other congregations around us and see those folks. So, you know, we're one body of Christ, aren't we? We are the body of Christ, and sometimes we operate and function under different denominations, but we are serving the same Lord with the same baptism, and I'm thankful for all my brothers and sisters around me that are faithfully serving in their churches. Notice there that Lent, put that on your calendar, Ash Wednesday. Also, the roller skating event, that is something that is planned out March 9th. We're going to do that again. We just finished up this Saturday was our bowling event. And boy, that was well attended. We had a nice time together. I think there were probably 17, 18, 19 kids, something like that. I didn't get a count, but I know there was 23 of us or 24 of us bowling. And so that was really exciting. Glad that all those were able to come out and enjoy that. And certainly we thank Kenny for providing the van to take those from the church here that didn't have a ride. We appreciate you, Kenny, for doing that. And all those that came to support it, really appreciate that. That's what they call it, the magic school bus. So we have a good time. I rode along with Kenny as well, and the kids had a great time. We appreciate that. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? There are only two Bible study lessons left, and boy, I really enjoyed this study through the book of Philippians, so I hope that some of you will be able to come to that this evening. Then next Sunday, of course, we'll finish that up. Just keep that in mind. Anything else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, we thank you that you are our God and we are your people. That, Lord, you've chosen us, Lord. You've set us apart. Lord, you've blessed us. Lord, you've given us your Son, Jesus. And Lord, he came and died upon a cross to prove and show his love for each one of us. Lord, we thank you so much that we are your sons and your daughters. And Lord, we pray that those that can't be with us this morning, Lord, you be with them for whatever reason they're unable. And Lord, we pray most of all you continue to use us to share the good news with those around us, to encourage those back that might not be with us, and Lord, to proclaim your good news, Father, to all people. Lord, we want to share your good news in Father, just give us the strength, the courage, the boldness that we need in this world today to just tell people the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. There's all sorts of bad news, Lord. We know that. But, Lord, we have good news. And, Lord, that's what the world needs today. Lord, help us to proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus, and the salvation we receive through him. Lord, we praise him. We praise his name here this morning. We glorify your Son. We pray your Holy Spirit be with us, move in our midst, I pray. And just draw us closer to your loving side, Lord. And draw us closer to the heart of Jesus in all that we do here. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together for our call to worship this morning. This coming from portions of 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon God, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Cast all your cares upon God, for he cares for you. Resist the devil, and be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Cast all your cares upon God, for he cares for you." Let's turn our hymnal, page 47. God will take care of you. Page 47. Well, that's what we're going to be looking at today. God will take care of you. And I guess I kind of stole the sermon title even from the hymn. But it is very true, isn't it? God does take care of us, doesn't He? Amen?
Amen?
He does. He takes care of us. He watches over us. And no matter what we go through, God is there. He will be with us, and He will care for us. And that leads us right into our prayer time, doesn't it? As we seek God to care for us in specific ways. And so we call out to God to care for us in those concerns, those prayer requests that we have. A couple I will give with you, or share with you here. If you would, put on your prayer list a young man named Jeffrey Hildebrand. Jeffrey, he's only 18 or 19 years old, and he had a pretty serious accident, I guess yesterday, or well, not yesterday, I think it's been a couple days back. Yeah, on Friday. And so a cable broke, I think, and came back and hit Jeffrey in his eye. And he has a lot of damage, and he's needing several operations to repair his eye. And so if you would just lift Jeffrey up in your prayers, that he would get to the right doctors and nurses that would be able to help him, just to help him in his healing. I think it's going to take a good bit of time to heal from this particular injury that he has to his eye.
Has some action good news.
Okay, Jennifer.
I don't think the damage is extensive as they originally
thought. Okay, praise the Lord.
They're actually talking about
using him from hospital. Praise the Lord, wow. Okay. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Jennifer, that's answered prayers. I know for your family. This would be the boyfriend of Jennifer's niece, right? So they're connected to Jeffrey. And thank you for that update. You know, yesterday, last night we were here and it was pretty bad. So well, that's just answered prayers, and we just thank the Lord for that and pray that that he has a full recovery and doesn't lose any vision or lose his eye. Praise the Lord for that. Very scary situation. I know I've been around situations where cables have broken when you're pulling on something or has a lot of weight on it. It's a dangerous thing. You never know exactly where it's going to go. Unfortunately for him, it came back and hit him in the face. I think Deborah was sharing just the way he had turned his head. The doctors had said that, you know, if it would have hit him in the back of the head, potentially it could have killed him with the force that it hit him. But he just happened to, well, we say he just happened to turn around. But the Lord was looking after him. And we know that God was taking care of Jeffrey in that situation. And it sounds like he continues to care for him. So we will be praying for him and praying for his recovery, and we'll just look forward to more good news there. Praise the Lord for that. That is great. If you would, put the name Otis Dove on your prayer list. We prayed for him before. We just want to continue to pray for Otis. He had a fall. Bambi, how old is Otis?
He will be
104 in May. Okay. He's 103, will be 104 in May. So for men, that is quite rare. Sometimes you see some women that get to that age, but not quite often in the men. So, wow, it's amazing. But he had a fall. He was in the hospital for a little bit. He's home now, and he's recovering from that. We just pray for his recovery, that God will heal his body as well. Of course, and congratulations to Kevin and Bambi as well. They received a new grandson, grandbaby into their family. And so they said that makes number 6, with also number 7 still on the way. Praise the Lord for that. What excitement they have. And we just rejoice with you there for that great news that you're having. And she said something about she needs to get a bigger table now. They're going to have to keep expanding the table. That's good, though, isn't it? That's a good problem to have. You can always find a larger table, so praise the Lord for that. Also, if you would, continue to lift up Jane in your prayers. We continue to pray for Jane Myers be with Bob as well. We pray for God's presence with Bob there. Evan, we pray for Evan and just the family there, just God's comfort and God's peace, his care for them at this time. So I know Jane had received a lot of cards from each of you, and I would encourage you, if you hadn't had a chance to send a card yet to Jane, please do. That is certainly a important thing, and she really appreciates that. I know the family does. So we rejoice that God's care is in the midst of even our most difficult situation. And I know Jane feels that and knows that. And so we just continue to pray for God's comfort and God's peace for that family. Are there other prayer requests that you'd like to share? Of course, go ahead. Heather Woods. Okay. 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 If you would put Heather Woods on your prayer list, that God would just heal her and bring healing to her. Other prayer requests, Pam?
Jennifer.
Yes. Yes.
She's having
okay. All right. Well, we'll be praying for Trista. I happened to bump into Robert at Sharp Shopper right after I bumped into Nancy. We were all at Sharp Shopper on what day was that?
Friday.
Apparently, they must bring good deals out on Friday. I never go there, but I ran into a lot of people at Sharp Shopper. And Robert was someone I got to catch up with. I know they're going through a lot. Jennifer's going through a lot, so. If you would, just be in prayer for Robert and Jennifer, just for God's direction, God's provision, you know, God's help through their situation. So I appreciate you sharing that, reminding us to be in prayer for Jennifer Lambert, if you would. Also, if you would, put on your prayer list Sharon Horn. Sharon, many of you know her. She has worked at the food pantry in Stokesville for a lot of years and does just a whole lot of good there. She's been battling breast cancer. She told me a very aggressive form of breast cancer. And she is in treatment now, I know for that. And she just needs your prayers. If you would just lift up her in your prayers and just pray for God's help through these treatments. I know that they can be quite difficult when you're going through that. So just be in prayer for her if you would. Anyone else? My praise is that we had so many youth there yesterday at the bowling event, the youth event. What a blessing we have. The youth here, they just bring a joy to our hearts as we're here worshiping. But boy, to see them all there yesterday and having a good time, fellowshipping, and everybody seemed to just enjoy each other's company. And what just makes you so thankful to be a part of Moscow Church. And so we just praise the Lord for that. Yeah, Kenny?
And on top of that, there was a few couples in our pizza hut business after we left the
station. Right.
And one gentleman made a comment about how well behaved that many kids were.
Isn't that something? Praise the Lord.
That was a blessing as well.
Yeah, what a testimony.
Kenny kept them in order.
Yeah, Kenny was keeping them in order. Now, Kenny's the one we got to keep in order. No, it was good. And Kenny, Sherry, we just appreciate you guys so much. We had a good time, didn't we? We really did. And just reminds us that we're so blessed to have the youth coming here, and you know, they did a lot of good things with the money, the service project, the meal they served, and at Valley Mission, the work they did there. But I reminded them, too, God wants us to have fellowship with one another. And that was a fellowship event, and they had a good time. They enjoyed that. And some of them did really good at bowling, better than me. And I came with my own shoes and ball, and I didn't do very good. Caroline did really good. She did a really nice job. There were so many of the kids, though, that got really good scores and lots of strikes, and we just had a fun time laughing with each other and cheering each other on, and it was a good event. So we look forward to doing more things like that. So put the skating event on your, don't forget, kids, put that on your calendar. I know that's a little ways off, but it'll be here before we know it, and that should be a fun event, too. All right, I'm going to call now on our ushers. Come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Share the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that You care for us. God, You take care of us. Lord, if we're sick, if we're fighting cancer, Lord, You take care of us. Lord, if we're involved in an accident, Lord, and we need Your help and Your healing, Lord, You take care of us. Lord, if we are suffering in any way, Lord, we can always look to You, because we know, Lord, that You will take care of us. Lord, I thank You that You want us to hear that this morning. You want us to be reminded that no matter what we're going through, Lord, You know. Maybe it's something in our work. Maybe it's something in our home. Maybe it's a financial burden that we've struggled with, or a bill that we've worried about. Lord, I pray that we hear again Your words, that You truly will take care of us. We just trust in You, Lord, and You will provide. Lord, thank You for always taking care of us. Lord, we praise You for the care that we receive through Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, the care that we know and understand through that You revealed to us through Your word, and the care, Lord, that we experience in our life because of that relationship that we have with our Savior, Jesus. Lord, His example, His life and death and resurrection is the greatest testament, Lord, that You have given to us. That, Lord, You care for each one of us. Lord, thank You for the care You provide. Lord, pray for all those on our prayer list. Lord, care for them only as You can. Bless the offering, I pray, to the Lord, to Your good. Lord, bless those givers and continue to bless all those that seek to praise You and worship You through their offering, Lord. Father, we pray for Moscow. Lord, continue to use this church to proclaim Your good news. And Lord, open our hearts now to receive Your word and Your message. Lord, erase the worry in our minds. Erase the worry in our hearts that we might have. Even as we turn to Your word, Lord. Just take away that worry that we might have in our life. And remind us, Lord, again, that You truly will take care of us. Lord, we praise You now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church and youth Sunday school can be dismissed. I think good news for them, there's some leftover pizza I think they're going to have down there. Another little pizza party. And don't let me see any of the adults sneaking out too, going down there getting pizza. In your Bible, why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We were talking last week about Scriptures that encourage us, scriptures that give us courage even. And I want to continue sharing those scriptures, those confidence-building scriptures, those places in the Bible that we can go to and that just build our confidence in things of God. Of course, last week we were talking about how God eliminates fear from your daily life. And isn't that wonderful that we don't have to have fear. We don't have to live a life of fear. What a tragic way to live and fearing. But God says, I can eliminate your fear. I can take away your fear and I can replace it with faith in Me. That you can trust in Me. And that's confidence building, isn't it? That we can have confidence. Not necessarily confidence in ourselves, but confidence in God. That's where our confidence is. So many people today are trying to put confidence in themselves. And unfortunately, you'll have confidence in yourself until your first failure, and then your second failure, and your third failure. And that works at your confidence. But God does not fail us, does He? And our confidence is secure in Him, and we can always trust in God. And so we have that fear removed away from our life because our confidence is in the things of God. Talked about David and Goliath and Deborah and the armies of Canaan. And their trust, their assurance, their confidence was built upon the things of God. And so it is with us. Amen? Amen. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but it's in God. And that's where we put our trust. And that's confidence building for us. And that He puts that confidence within us. This Sunday we're talking about really worry. And how that God can take away worry from our lives. That He can remove worry. And how many of us worry? I guess we could all raise our hands, couldn't we? We all tend to worry. And what the Bible says what Jesus tells us is that we don't have to be consumed by worry no more than we have to be consumed by fear. That worry is one of those things that can be overcome by your faith in God. Isn't that good to hear? Isn't that wonderful to hear? God has a cure for fear. He has a cure for worry in your life. And that's faith. You just have to take that prescription, don't you? You have to put your faith in God and trust in Him. And He'll take away that fear. He'll take away that worry, and that you no longer have that anymore. So our worrying days are over, and we can put those worries behind us as we trust in God. He is the cure to our worry. Okay, let's look here at our scripture, Matthew 6, looking at verse 25 and then reading on down to verse 33. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Guess we'll finish there. Verse, we can just add 34. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You know, when we have God, one of the first things He tells us is that we no longer have to worry, because He is God. Really, that's the benefits of making God God. You are no longer God. That means that you're no longer trying to be in control of your life, but you're allowing God to take control. And therefore, we don't have to worry any longer. That God really is that cure. He's that medication against worrying in our life. And that as we put our faith and our trust in God, that God will remove, minimalize, take away that disease of worry in our life. God truly is the cure for worry. And listen to God, or listen to Christ there in Matthew 6. He tells the disciples really in three ways, or three different times there, to stop worrying. Look at verse 25. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry." Look again there at verse 31. "Therefore, do not worry." Do not worry. I missed my scripture up, but there's a third one here. Well, is it 30? Find me the third one. 34. There it is. I put the wrong number. But three different times there, we see that God specifically says, don't worry. That we're not to worry three different times. You know, if I tell the kids something three different times, boy, they better listen up. You know, if God tells us something one time, we better pay attention, shouldn't we? We better be paying attention. God tells you something two times, you better pay really close attention. But notice here, he says this three times. We're to stop what we're doing. We're to take really close note of what God is saying here. He's telling you three times that you are not to worry anymore. You think God means it? Well, like I say, if I tell my kids something three times, they know I mean it. I say it once, you say it twice, three times. That's the end of the road, isn't it? That's where the rubber meets the road. And so God is really saying to you three times, you are not to worry. You do not have to worry anymore. That I am God and you are not. We need to listen. We need to absorb every drop, every morsel of truth in which God is telling us here that we are not to have worry in our life. And the reasons really is he's telling us not to worry. Number one, he knows we do worry, right? I think he's telling us that because he knows we do. But secondly, he's telling us because he really doesn't want us to worry in our life. God wants to cure that worry in our life so that we wouldn't worry any longer. So how are we not to worry? What instruction does he give us here in the scriptures that are to relieve our worry? Well, notice here, number one, it's because God knows your every need even before you need it. Look at verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows what you need, doesn't he? And one of the first doctrines you learn in Christianity is that God is omnipresent. You know what that means? That God is everywhere at all times. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of like air, really. If you think about air, it's kind of everywhere, isn't it? You know, there's air here, there's air there too. We walk into a room, we don't think, well, I hope there's air on the other side of the room. Yeah, air is there, isn't it? If you move your hand fast enough, you can feel the air. But air is everywhere. It's all over the earth. And it's only usually in those places that we push it out of. And that's kind of, there's a lot of comparisons you can make there of where between God and air. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. But even more so than just God is everywhere at all times, omnipresent also means that God is everywhere throughout time itself. Now that's a tough one to understand. That God is present with us here at in the present moment, right? But God is already in tomorrow. And he's already through your week. He knows how your week's going to unfold. He knows everything that you're going to say this coming week. He's already into the week following. He transcends. He's omnipresent not only in the present, but he's omnipresent within the past as well. God still exists in creation. He's back at creation. His presence is still there. Now for us, that's way past. We can't go back to that, but God can. God is past, he's present, and he's future. He's the God that was, that is to come. That's what Revelation says. He is to come. That's three different places. And he's at all those places all at once. That's kind of amazing to think about. Me and you, we're kind of fixed in the present, aren't we? We're held at this one moment in time. Really, space and time. Einstein got into theorizing a lot about space and time. That space and time are connected to one another somehow. It's weird. Where you are in space somehow determines the time. And where you are in time determines the space. It's crazy. In fact, if you were to go way up high on a mountain, and if you had a precise clock, and I went down to sea level, we spent some time apart, that when we come back together, our clocks would be different. Because you've experienced space and time in a different way than I've experienced space and time. And the clocks would literally be different. You would age, you literally age faster in space. Did I die? It's Einstein's fault. For us, we're fixed in a place, aren't we? We're right in the present. We cannot move forward. We cannot move backwards. But that's not the way with God. God exists in the past. He exists in the present. But He also exists in the future. And therefore, God knows what you need even before you know what you need. He knows your life from beginning to end. And that's why you can read Revelation as it's unfolded. Because in the eyes of God, it has already unfolded. Which is, it's kind of hard to think about, but it's kind of hard to get our minds around. But God is already in tomorrow. That's why we can trust in God, can't we? We know that God knows what we need. We know that He knows what tomorrow holds for us. And therefore, we can trust in God that He will provide for us the things that we need because He already knows that we need them. God knows our every need, and we can trust in Him. You know, when we pray to God, it really isn't never to inform God. You know, we're not going to enlighten God about something in our life that He doesn't know. God, you got to know this one. Boy, this is happening to me. You got to be informed about what's going on. Don't you know? Yes, God, He knows. You don't need to inform God. He's already informed. All we need to do is seek Him, don't we? And to seek His help. We're never to lose faith that God knows our every need. He knows our every care. And God does care. Listen to what He says there about the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father, He cares for them, doesn't He? He takes care of them. And uses the example as well of the flower in the field. Even Solomon, he says, wasn't arrayed in such beauty as that, as the flower of the field. Jesus cares for us. He knows our needs. And He watches over us. God cares for you. And He cares for you more than the birds. The example Jesus used, how much more then? If He cares for these things, how much more does God care for you? You know, this really comes in the context, not worrying. If you look back there a little bit beforehand, it's talking about riches. No one can serve two masters, verse 24. Either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Sometimes I think it comes, this scripture about worrying comes right on the heat of money, because oftentimes that's where we worry the most, don't we? We tend to worry about, can I pay this bill? Will I have money for this thing or that thing? And God, I think it's no coincidence. He brings us right on the heels of money. He wants us to put our trust and faith in Him, specifically when it comes to money. That we can depend on God, that He will provide for you. He cares for you. He knows already what your troubles are. He knows your financial struggle. And He cares for you. And He will provide for you. How much more He will provide for you than the birds or the flowers. God cares. And I appreciate that He puts this right where He does. So I'm reminded of these things. Okay, God knows what our need is. Number two, we're not to worry because really worrying is an unchristian behavior. Notice there, verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. For after these things the Gentiles seek. Who are the Gentiles? They're the unbelievers, aren't they? He's saying that worry is really an unchristian sort of behavior. Think about that. When you're worrying, really you are doubting God. You're saying that God doesn't care for me more than the birds. That God doesn't care for me than the flowers of the field. You're really bringing some doubt that God cares. And so that's what he's saying. This is a thing that the Gentiles do. The unbelievers are the ones that doubt God. The unbelievers are the ones that look at God and say, does God care? You know, the Gentiles, they didn't believe God cared, did they? Even the idol worshipers who believed in gods, they didn't believe the gods cared either. That's why they spent all their time trying to please the gods. Because they felt like the gods didn't care about them. You know, the gods were the gods, and they were just like ants upon the earth. They had no favor, really, in the eyes of the gods, unless they would do certain things and try to earn that favor so that the gods would look upon them and with pleasure. Well, they didn't really feel that God cared about them. Their image or their theology of God was that God is selfish. God cares about himself. He looks out for his own self-interest. And hopefully we can get by without angering the gods. But that's certainly not what Christianity provides for us, is it, when it comes to our understanding of God? God cares. He loves us, doesn't he? God cares about us. He cares so much he sent his son upon the earth to die for us. It's not about that we're trying to please God, but God loves you. He cares for you. He doesn't see you as a worthless ant, but he sees you as his beloved child. And he cares about you. He worries about you. And he desires to do good to you. We're not to worry because worry is an unchristian behavior. And lastly, number three, we're not to worry because God promises to give us all we need if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Look there at verse 32 and 33. For all these things the Gentile seeks, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Really, if we spend our time not worrying, but just seeking his righteousness, seeking to do his will. Really, that's seeking his righteousness, is seeking to do his good will, seeking to live our life to please him, to honor him, to serve him. Notice he promises, his promise is that I will provide these things for you. All these things that you are in need of, I will provide them for you. This is not necessarily God saying, you know, it's a free handout here. But it is a guarantee that if we're living our life for him, that he will take care of us. He will help us. He will provide for us. He will meet our every need if we're just faithful to serve him. I remember when I first came here, 11 years going on 12 years ago now, the church had shrank down in size, and there were probably, you know, 16, 17 people here on a regular basis, something like that. When I came, I interviewed here. I was only going to be part-time at first. And there was some conversation among the leadership here about taking a leap of faith. Maybe we'll just call Darren and we'll call him full time. Even though we don't have the financial funds to sustain that, we can do it for a while, but we're just going to take a leap of faith that God will provide to meet the financial burden of the church, and that we can We can do it. And so they did. They took a leap of faith. I came in and we started serving the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek to be serving Him and His righteousness. And praying that God would provide. We were standing on that scripture. That God would provide. That God would take care of us. That God would meet the needs of the church. And so, within a year, within 2 years, the ministry started to build. The people started to come. And we met budget. And we've been meeting budget ever since. Praise God. I think it's just a fulfillment of the scripture. That's the way we're supposed to operate, aren't we? We're supposed to seek God. We're supposed to put our trust and our faith in Him. And that if we do, He promises to us that if we seek God's kingdom, that if we seek His righteousness, that He will meet our need. I hope that is preaching to you this morning. Maybe you've been worrying. Maybe you've been focusing on all the wrong things, though. Seek His righteousness. Seek His purpose. And I'm telling you, God's telling you, He promises. He promises. He will meet your need. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You that we don't have to worry anymore. Lord, we can just put our faith and total trust in You. Lord, You're going to care for us. Lord, You've promised. This is Your words, Your scripture speaking to us today. Lord, maybe we've been consumed by worrying about our situation, about maybe it's not financial, maybe it's something else, Lord, that we're worrying about, that we're constantly worrying about, that it's day in and day out. Maybe we can't even get sleep at night because we're constantly worrying about this thing. Lord, I just pray now that we'll cast these burdens away from us. That we'll, Lord, we'll just lift that worry away from us. That, Lord, You are God that we are not. And that, Lord, we can trust in You. You hold tomorrow. Lord, You know what tomorrow holds because You are the holder of tomorrow. And Lord, we can trust in You. Now, Lord, no matter what situation, no matter what difficulty we're going through, Lord, we can have courage in You because, Lord, You care for us. Thank You, Father, for the care that You provide for us. Thank You, Lord, for being that caring God that we can trust in. We praise You now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, let's gather now on our closing hymn, page 51. Guide me, Thou, O great Jehovah. Page 51. Let's stand together and we'll close on this hymn.
Thank you.
heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we go, Lord, we know that you go before us. Lord, you go before us into this day and even into this week. Lord, we know that you're watching over us and caring for us. Lord, we thank you for the care that you provide for us each and every day of our life. Lord, we just thank you for that gift, Lord, that you give us then through that. Lord, that we don't have to worry anymore because, Father, you are in control. Lord, we just praise you now. We praise you for that care and compassion in our life. Bless us, I pray, this week until we meet again. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.